In talking about prayer, prayer cannot be prayed effectively by ignoring God's Word. Prayer is the foundation of all Christian success. But at the same time, God's Word is the foundation of all success, all Christian success, all prayer success, all success is in God's Word, and God's Word must be the foundation of all that we do, all that we say, all that we think, and so forth. Our entire lives should be based on God's Word and based on it as final authority. What we mean by making God's Word first place in your life or final authority is the Word settles it, says it, that settles it. That's it forever. Years ago, Gloria and I and our family settled the fact that God's Word said, by His stripes ye were healed. We settled the fact that God's Word says that Jesus is Lord. We settled the fact that when God's Word says that, then that's true, and we start from there and base our thinking on it, base our actions on it, base our words on it. And we found out that as we base our prayer lives and our actions on God's Word, then that releases God, that gives God the authority and the right to enter into our lives as God. God's not going to just push Himself on anybody. He's not going to push Himself off on you or anybody else. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, death came upon all men, and Satan demanded it. He enforced death on every man. Well, now, when Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible said, righteousness has come upon all men, but God didn't come in and enforce life on anybody. He gave you a choice and said, whosoever will may come. He gave us a choice to receive. Say that word out loud, receive. Say this, I believe I receive from God. He gave us a choice to receive the righteousness that came upon every man when Jesus was raised from the dead. Praise God. Our major problems could be solved so quickly that it's astounding and astonishes our thinking if we just put God's Word first place. Think what would happen if we just obeyed the Word of God in all of our functions as a nation. Think what would happen if we just obeyed God in our families. Think what would happen if we just did what God said. Amen. What'd God say? Love one another. Amen. I mean, when you put God's Word first place in your life, you have based your life on the truth. And truth is truth. It works. That's the reason it's called truth. Now, let's go back again and center up in prayer. Let's read again what we began last week in talking about this from the 11th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Jesus said in the 23rd verse, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. In our common vernacular now, we would probably say this is the way you use God's faith. Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now, that he used say one time right there. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say, that's once, unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Now he's used the word believe once, so it's one and one. Shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So saying in one form or another is used three times and believing only once. Now, I heard Brother Kenneth Hagin say this over 20 years ago, And I've lived by it ever since and have proven it out in my own life that it's absolutely true. And like I said last week, I'm more convinced of it now than I was 20 years ago. That you have to major on saying at least three times more than you do the believing. And you say, well, brother, why is that? Believing is so important. Yeah, that's right. It's important. But what we haven't realized and what we learn from God's Word is what we say is what we wind up believing. You may give mental assent. You may mentally come up to the place where you say, yes, that's true and I believe that. But then your actions prove you don't believe it. And the words you say out on the street prove you don't believe it. The words you say to God prove you don't believe it. And like an old proverb says, your actions are so loud, I can hear what you're saying. The words that come out of our heart, the faith-filled words or fear-filled words, don't come out of the mind. Hate-filled words, now they may have been based in the mind, that's where you picked them up, but that's not where they start. I mean, that's not where the power is, excuse me, that's where they start in your mind, but you say them until they get down in your heart. Now, Jesus made reference to that one time in the 9th chapter of Luke, in the 44th verse, and he said, let these sayings of mine sink down in your heart. Do you remember what Jesus said in the 6th chapter of Matthew? Most people miss this. I'm going to turn over there quickly because I want to read the scriptures around it, and you'll see why we missed this phrase. We need to be careful not to do this. You need to read God's Word very carefully. Jesus didn't waste any words. He didn't just say something just, well, you know, I mean, that's just kind of a figure of speech. He didn't do that. He's responsible for every word he said out of his mouth, and so are you. In the 6th chapter of Matthew's gospel, Jesus was teaching that day, and he made this statement, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Now let's back up here just a little bit and read into that. I want you to catch this. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? See, those words in the light of the fact that if God clothes the grass of the field, shall he not much more clothe you? So for a man or a woman to say, where am I going to get anything to drink? Where am I going to get anything to eat? Where am I going to get any clothes? For a believer, for one of God's children to say that, that'd be unbelief, would it not? Sure it would. But now notice this. Jesus said, therefore, take no thought saying. Huh? I had a man say, brother, I just don't understand why it is that I can just be driving down the road. And he said, dear Lord, I may be praying. All of a sudden, I have one of the most terrible thoughts. Well, you have to realize, folks, that there are thoughts out there, and the devil do his best to put thoughts in your mind. You're not going to come to a place where you don't have any thoughts of the world or any thoughts from the devil because you're in contact with him and you're surrounded in this atmosphere by satanic influence. And besides that, you're just not that super spiritual yet. I wish I was, but I'm not and you're not. But the Bible tells us to cast those things now and down and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Now, if you weren't ever going to have any more thoughts like that, then God's Word wouldn't tell you to bring your thoughts into captivity. So, I want you to notice this, though. Jesus said, you take the thought or you put that thought into motion. You give it life. You give that unbelief How am I going to be clothed? What am I going to drink? What am I going to eat? Take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? In other words, the way you give feet to those thoughts is by saying them with your mouth. You say them and you say them and you say them until by that process you continue to hear them come out your mouth. Now you may be hearing them from somebody else's mouth or some of the source from the world, the television, the magazines and newspapers that surround you with unbelief. But they're not feeding words into your mouth. They're feeding thoughts into your mind. And you can reject those and renounce those. Now, the smart thing to do is get that stuff out of your surroundings, but you're still surrounded by it. But the words that you say with your mouth, those words, and a good deal of the time, the place where you open yourself and make others' thoughts your thoughts. If you go to a church that preaches unbelief, you're in real danger, because you'll turn right around and go say those things. If you say them with your mouth, you take those thoughts, you'll feed them into your spirit. You'll build that into your spirit. Don't pray and then go out and negate your prayer life by the words you say all day and by the words that you speak all day out on the street and what you say driving down the street in your car and so forth. I mean, don't do that. You'll believe you before you'll believe anybody. If I come along and say, brother, I'll tell you what, I believe you can do that. No, I can't do it. You'll believe you rather than me. Now, if you listen to me long enough and I keep telling you by faith, now listen, under the anointing of God, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. If you will listen to anointed preaching and put God's anointed word into your ears, His anointing by the Holy Ghost can take that down into your spirit. It comes out in faith. You keep speaking. You take the thought, say it, put it into your spirit. Put yourself in a position to hear anointed preaching. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And in Romans 10:17, the scripture I just quoted, that was talking about the word when it was preached. Now, it's also true as you read God's word. But I want to tell you something now, folks. Now, listen to me. Don't get all bent out of shape for what I'm about to say to you. But now you listen to me, because it's absolutely the truth. You can read God's word. You can read God's word until you're just exhausted from reading it, and it only be thoughts. Until you take the thought, saying it. Take it, saying it. Take God's word, say it to Him. Take God's word and say it to you. It's mine. That is mine. You read God's word. I mean, there are people that have studied God's Word, read God's Word for years and years and years and years, and have never ever said with their mouth and made up their heart and their mind and made a decision, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And then act on it and do it. Once you've said, I'm going to do that, then if you notice, you'll begin to say the same thing that God's Word says. This is just, in plain words, the way God created man. I mean, this is just the way things are, brother. That's just it. Jesus said, you have what you say. So we need to major on the saying part. We need to be determined in our own lives to make sure that we major on listening to our own words and make sure that we major on the words of our life. Now, why do we need to be that determined about it? Listen to the words of Jesus. A good man of the good treasure of the heart, this is Matthew 12:35, bringeth forth good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now listen. A good man of the good treasure of the hearth bringeth forth good things, and an evil man of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. I say unto you, every idle or every empty, inoperative, non-productive word, that's the way the Amplified translation of the Bible translates it, very literal translation. I say unto you, this is Jesus now. I say unto you that every idle, inoperative, non-working word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words are you justified, and by your words shall you be condemned. Now listen, that's a serious, serious, very serious position to be in, where words are concerned. And Jesus put us in that position. And then He has given us His Word with which to govern our words, our thoughts. Don't you remember in the book of Isaiah, 55th chapter, when said, God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts? Well, certainly they are. And His ways are higher than our ways. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. But then if you just read right on down, just a verse or two more, He said, therefore my word goeth forth out of my mouth. In other words, you don't have to stay stupid. You don't have to stay crippled in life, crippled spiritually, crippled mentally. You don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay in your spiritual ignorance, because God has put forth His words. In other words, you don't have to keep saying your old words. Won't you say these words? Somebody said, how are you? You don't have to say, I'm sick, I'm broke, I'm dead, I'm dying, oh, it's killing me. You don't have to say that. Go a step higher and get God's word and say, by His stripes I'm healed. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases, thank you. And I'm walking in faith, thank God. I mean, He meets my needs according to His riches and glory. Somebody said, yeah, but my needs are not met. Well, I know it. You just told me why. You never have put God's words in your heart and in your mouth. If you put His words in your mouth, they'll get down in your heart. You may say them for a considerable length of time before they ever really get down in your heart. Let me tell you how you know those words are down in your heart. It's very simple. They come out of your mouth without you having to think about it. Yeah. Did you ever say something, say, dear Lord, I don't know why I said that. Why did I say such a thing as that? Oh, dear me. Well, Jesus told you why you said it. For of the abundance of your heart, your mouth spoke. You mean that's in me in abundance? Must have been. It came out of your mouth without your mind having the opportunity to stop it. Amen. Well, after a while, when you've meditated God's Word and you've spoken God's Word and you've made the quality decision that I'm not going to speak any other way but in favor of God's Word. Whatever His Word says, I'm not going to cut crosswise of it and say something else. Do you remember what God told Israel in the book of Malachi, 3rd chapter? He said, they were wondering why they didn't prosper. They said, we keep doing all these things. Why are we not prospering? We're in as bad a shape as we were before we did all these sacrifices. And listen to what He said. He said, your words are stout against me. Your words are stout against me. My mama, bless her heart, woman of God, woman of prayer, came to a place where she was at death's door that not very long ago. And doctors agreed, 3 different doctors on the case agreed, she couldn't live over 30 days. 30 days at the outside, and they weren't giving her over 36 hours. And I prayed about it. I sat there next to her bed and prayed and listened to God. And several hours at a time, I'd sit there, and she was just kind of in and out and right on the verge of coma there for hours and hours. And I sat there listening to the Lord to see what was going on here and praying concerning her and so forth. And make a long story short, her body parts were just worn out. I mean, her heart just worn
out.
Just so beat up and worn down over such years of and over life, the thing just wouldn't work right. Wasn't any sickness and disease in her. And in praying about it, the Lord said, what's wrong with her? Actually, it isn't healing that she needs. It's not a matter of healing as much as it is renewing. Those body parts are wore out. There's not any sickness nor disease in there. Now, there had been some when she went into the hospital. She had some pneumonia. But I'll tell you what, that pneumonia didn't last 3 days. Didn't last 3 days. It was gone. No trace of it anymore. And the Lord said, you notice in the 103rd Psalm, talking about the benefits of God, he said, really, she should have been receiving this renewing every day of her life. He said, my people have never learned this. He said, they talk old. They talk getting old all the time. Said, after you pass 35 years old, you spend the next 40 years talking about how old you are and how all your eyes are worn out and your ears are worn out and your body is worn out. Oh, I'm so old. I'm just getting so old. I heard one man say, he didn't know I was in the room. And I'm telling you, this man's a born-again, Holy Ghost, baptized for gospel healing, believing preacher, is a missionary and had done a great work in the mission field. He stood right there before that mirror. Like I said, he didn't know I was sitting back there, see. And he looked right in that mirror and said, anybody this old ought not be let out on the street. And he turned around and saw me sitting there, and I said, sir, I don't want to rebuke an elder. I know better than that, but please, don't talk like that. Don't speak like that. I said, we respect you very highly. And I said, you're talking against yourself. And this is before I had revelation of what I'm about to show you now. And the Lord said, my people do that all the time. He said, they talk old. He said, and then you get up to be this age and you start coming apart. You go to begging me to heal you. And he said, you should have received this benefit every day of your life. Now listen to what it said. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's a great benefit. Who healeth all thy diseases. Yes, amen, what a great benefit. Isn't that right? But now see, there's sickness and disease right there. Healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now listen to this. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now you're still going to have to deal with death until death bows its knee as the last enemy under God. Under God's power and God's pressure, death will bow its knee and there'll be no more death. But until that comes, your body's going to die. But it does not have to come apart before it dies. God didn't create the body to age. God created it to be renewed every 7 to 11 years, and medical science can tell us right now that every cell in your body from 7 to 11 years from now will be totally different and gone, and a new one in its place. Well, we still have to deal with the influence of death, but we have been redeemed from the authority of death, and we don't have to grow old gracefully, praise God. We can every day, like God said, your mama should have been receiving this every day of her life, and say, my God fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Glory to God. I do that every day, particularly since God said that to me. I do that every day, praise the Lord, so that I'm not aiding and abetting age and the breaking down of my physical parts because they're worn out before their time, just simply because I keep speaking it with my mouth, but fill my mouth with God's Word. Amen. Now, I said all that because I want to say this to you, that Lord. I said, Lord, can I receive that with her? He said, sure, all things are possible to him that believeth. But he said, now, I want you to teach the people that they ought to do that every day of their lives rather than getting caught at the tail end of this and need an outright total miracle to get out of it. It'd be better to receive it. That's the way things go. Plant the seed and let it grow each day, every day. Receive the effect of it every day of your life. Amen. And rebuke yourself when you begin to talk about how old you are, no good you are, and how crippled down you are, and all that. But I prayed that where Mother was concerned. And then the Lord reminded me several different times of her words all during her life, particularly the last 20 years. She has talked about death, and she has said in her own Bible class, in her own Bible teachings, she said to me as her son, she said to my dad as her husband and my father, I'm not going to die out of time. I'll die when God tells me to die. And when He tells me it's time for me to die, that's when I'm going to die. She said that once. She has said it, well, no doubt thousands and thousands of times. Now, her heart was enlarged, wouldn't pump anywhere near enough blood. Her kidneys were affected because of it. She had too much toxic in her body because of all of that. She had stuff wrong with her. She had, and the wrong with her was, old body's worn out. Just worn out. I could tell you a lot of reasons why, but I ain't got time. But she's just worn out. But she wouldn't die. Wouldn't die. Supposed to not lasted but 30 days. But kept on. 30 days went by. 60 days went by. Now, at the time I'm making this broadcast, we are approaching the 90-day mark. And instead of laying there in the bed and can't speak loud enough for anybody to hear in the room, in and out of coma. No. She's up walking around doing whatever she wants. Well, bless her heart. And her old body is just as wore out as it was. But you know what's happening? Her words of her mouth built such a stronghold of power that I don't care how worn out her body was. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the medical prognosis of it was. It don't make any difference. It could not overcome the stronghold of her words that were built up there over years and years of years of her saying, I'm not going to die until it's time. And among a lot of other things that she's had to say about that. Had she had revelation of this other, she'd have said that too. And I've shared it with her since then. Now, I have also ministered to people that were dying, that were not sick enough to die. They didn't have any reason really as spiritually, physically, they didn't really shouldn't be dying, but they're dying anyway. And I'm not getting anywhere in my prayer life. I'm not getting anywhere praying over this thing. I know there's healing. They tell me out their mouth they believe for healing. Now, I know, and just die anyhow. I just don't know why God didn't do it. Listen, folks, God's not at the root of it. God's not the problem. He's not why they died. He didn't just let them die. He gave them His Son, gave them His blood, gave them His Spirit, gave them His name, gave them His power, defeated the devil for you, sent Jesus to the cross, bore that sickness, carried that disease, raised from the dead, defeated hell, seated at the right hand of the Father and said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He give it to you. But by your words you receive what He did, or by your words you don't. Now that's what He said there in Matthew 12. By your words are you justified or made righteous, or in other words, by your words you receive from God, or by your words are you condemned and don't receive. It is not a matter of getting God to heal brother so-and-so. It's a matter of receiving the healing that belongs to brother so-and-so. Can you see that? I know you can. I believe you can. Now, I said all that to say this to you. I have ministered to those people and found out from God. When I walked away from that, I said, Lord, what's the problem here? I know. Why are we not receiving? If there's something wrong with me, God, change me. Let me know. I'll change it instantly. But I'm not making my connection here. I'm not receiving here. What's wrong? I've done this in my own life. I'd go to God and I'd say, Lord, I know there's nothing wrong with you. You can't miss it. You've already done everything necessary to cause me to be a success, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, every other way. Why am I not making the right connection here? I know it in my spirit. I know something's wrong here. And the Lord said, check up on the words of your mouth. Check up on the words that you've been saying. What have you been saying about that? Say, Kenneth, your words are stout against me. I can't move beyond that.
God's God. He can do whatever He wants to do.
That's exactly right. And you know what He wanted to do? He wanted to say, by your words are you justified and by your words are you condemned. So now He's already said it and He's God and He can say whatever He wants to. And so His word says that I will not alter the things that go out of my mouth, neither will I change my covenant. Amen. I will not alter the things that go out of my mouth. Psalms 89:34. My covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Well, now He's already said it and we have a record of it. And the Lord would tell me in more cases than one, He'd say, well, there's not anything you can do about it, Kenneth. It's not your faith that's the problem here. And actually, this person on their deathbed here dying with this sickness and disease, it's really not the fact that they don't believe that I heal and so forth, but they have said for so many years that they're going to die of cancer that I can't get through to them. They've built a stronghold and licensed cancer to do its work in their life and body. And they don't even realize it. I say, Lord, how did they do such a thing? And in more occasions than one, He said, their family says it. And I've heard families say it. Said, well, you know, my uncle died of cancer and his brother died of cancer and my grandfather died of cancer, my great-grandfather died. You know, cancer just runs in our family. And it's been there for all these generations. And just say that over and over and over. I have heard people say it almost like it was like, almost like they had pride in it. And that cancer thing has built a stronghold in that family. It doesn't need to keep a stronghold there. If you will turn it around and take God's word, you can say, listen, that thing's gone far enough. It's going to stop right here with me. This is the end of this. I'm going to take authority over that right now in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to put up with that anymore. I'm not saying that anymore. This family is not a cancer family. This is a healing family. Our family has healing in it. We have Jesus in our family. We walk in this in the name of Jesus and make sure that you say it three times as much as you try to believe it. And you'll come to the place where you won't be trying to believe it. You will believe it. Thank God for it. I tell you, I'm energized by the Spirit of God right now. I'm impressed of Him right now to pray for you. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that cancer. I rebuke that heart trouble that your family has been talking about all these years. And in the name of Jesus, you be made well and put God's word in your mouth and spit that other out. Don't say that anymore. Stop building strongholds for the devil and to begin to build strongholds for God in your life by the words of your mouth. Now then, the words that we speak are the seeds, as Jesus said in Mark 4. They are seeds, and Jesus said that all the kingdom of God is compared to a man planting seed in the ground. Now, this is so vital. He said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth, but when it's sown, it grows up. When it is sown, it grows up. Now, He said everything in the kingdom of God is like that. You need more faith? Then sow faith and it'll grow up. Now, He started that by saying, the sower soweth the word. Or He could have said it like this and meant the same thing. The seed is the word. the seed is the Word, God's Word. Words are seeds. We read last week where James said, the whole course, and talking about course being a course like a ship takes, a destiny, setting forth a course to go from A to B. He said that the whole course of nature is set in motion. It all starts, or the seed, the process of traveling, the process that nature takes to travel from one place to the other in your life, the natural course of things in your life, where your life goes and where it winds up, is determined by the tongue. The tongue is the seed. So words are the process starters. They are the seed. That the Word of God is the sperm, if you will, to give birth to everything that happens in your life. And you are taking step by step by step. And most people feel like that they're being drugged step by step by step from point A to one point B. I don't want to go there. That's not where I want to go. I don't want to wind up sick. I don't want to wind up broke. I don't want to wind up helpless. I don't want to wind up in hell. I want to serve God. I don't want to do this. Well, what could I do about it, Brother Copeland? I mean, I'm just being forced in that direction. No, you're not. You have a choice, and it starts with your tongue. It doesn't start with your circumstances. It doesn't have anything to do with your circumstances, except that your circumstances have put words in your mouth, and you took the thought that they gave you and said it. So take God's Word. Open the door for God's Spirit. Move in the realm of God, not in the realm of the natural. Say, I'm going with God. Well, how do you do that? Well, I'm going to put His Word in my mouth. The only way you're ever going to do that, my brothers and sisters, find out what He says. Find out who you are in Christ Jesus. Find out who God is in you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I want to read you something from the book of Ephesians. This is such a powerful Scripture that most people don't even pretend to believe it. Oh, if you ask and believe that's true, yeah, oh yeah, that come right out of the Bible. But do they act on it? No, don't act like it at all. The Bible says that God, in the third chapter now of the book of Ephesians, now unto Him, unto God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now listen. According to our circumstances? No. According to where we were born, on that side of the road or that side of the road? No. According to our racial background? No. According to whether some other man has favor with us? No. According to the power that works in us. If you'll make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, how do I do that? With words out of your mouth. You receive what He said about it. If, now this is the book of Romans speaking now. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead, how do I know He's been raised from the dead? Because God's Word says it. God's Word says so. You say, well, as an act of my will, I will believe that. Yes, I will believe it. Now you do that and you just see what happens. I will believe it. Well, do you believe that God's been raised Him from the dead? Yes, I do. I act on that. Now there may be just as much doubt there as there is faith, but choose the faith instead of the doubt. You could just as easily have said, no, I won't believe that. But don't do that. Choose God. Choose Jesus. And say, yeah, I believe that. All right, now I believe that. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I confess Jesus is Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that He's been raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now you start saying that. Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus is Lord. I receive Jesus as Lord over my life. I receive Jesus as Lord over my life. Something's going to happen to you on the inside. Now that's the way you get born again. How? The Word is the seed. And as you say it, as you receive it, that Word will get down in you and spawn, give birth to the new birth. There'll be something born in you that's new and of God. This is the one thing, when you talk to people that claim the new birth of God, you ask them, are you born again? And you won't find one say, well, you know, I think I am. No. You find one that is, and you can tell it by his life. You know that he is. And you say, are you born again? Yes, amen. How do you know? Well, for one thing, something happened. I mean, there's something happened in me, dear me. Something happened. I fell in love with the brethren. I mean, I started loving people. There's love came in me that wasn't in there before. And so forth and so on. Well, what happened there? They believed it and said it with the mouth. And then, as they did, the Spirit of God brought it to pass. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He is in us. Now, in the light of that, he goes on into the fourth chapter and talks about a number of things concerning our lives. And he finishes the fourth chapter by saying, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Ghost. Stop corrupt communication. Now, most people thought that meant, well, you know, I'm supposed to stop using profanity, and you are, you should. I mean, that's stupid to talk that way. People that use filth and say things with their mouth other people wouldn't hold in their hand, I mean, that's stupid. And damning things and damning people using God's name in vain. And the reason it's vain when you do that is because God's not the dammer. So you're giving place to the devil and giving him place. You replace those words by the Word of God, but that's not the only words he's talking about. It's just as vain to say, God made me sick. God put that sickness on me. I mean, that's the dammer, isn't it? Wouldn't that be damnation to you? Well, sure it would. But God's not the one doing that. It's just as vain to say that as it is to use it the other way. What he's talking about here in corrupt communication, he's already described it in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, speaking the truth, speaking the Word in love. We grow up into Jesus in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the Word to one another. He's saying corrupt communication is doubt, unbelief, junk, idle words, all this stuff that condemns you. Any condemning word. Jesus said you are justified by your words. You are condemned by your words. Now, I began to train my vocabulary. Not an easy thing to do. You need help in it. You need God's Word. And most people, if you're like me, need the help of someone else. My wife helped me in it. I realized from that scripture in Mark 11, Jesus said what he did, you know, that we read right at the beginning of this broadcast today, where he said, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Things is plural. Now, that doesn't mean it just comes along here and say, well, this has gone wrong and I'm going to say it. I'm about to say something here. I'm going to say something by faith. That's fine. But that's not all. That's just a small part of what Jesus was talking about. What he was talking about, what I came into realization of better than 20 years ago, is the fact that Jesus is saying, but believe all those things which you say come to pass. That's the only way you'll ever change the words of your mouth. And Gloria and I got together and Something come slipping out my mouth like, well, that's just my rotten, no good luck. I always have that kind of luck. Luck shouldn't even be in the vocabulary of a Christian. You can trace its roots all the way back to Satan. I mean, man, it's a terrible thing to say. I'm not lucky, I'm blessed. I'm not just fortunate. I'm walking in the blessings of God on purpose. Praise God. Anyway, I'd say something like that. I'd say, you know, I don't ever work out for me. It just always, they just always, God don't ever do nothing to me. Da, 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 da. And I'd say it in glory and say, well, you know, those are things that you say and they're going to come to pass. That's your confession. I believe every word of it come to pass. Now here I'm praying. I say, oh God, help me. Oh God, give me strength. Oh God, I receive your strength. You're the strength of my life. And then turn right around and the same day get right out on the sidewalk and say, well, you know, that's just why I just ain't strong enough to do this. I just can't do this. And my wife say, well, I mean, that's your confession. I believe every word of it. And I began to realize I'm praying one thing, saying another. I'm praying words of prayer, but I wasn't saying words of faith. And it began to choke and cripple my prayer life. And she'd say, that's your confession. I believe every word of it. I found out that I used words of death, particularly the word death and hate. Man, I just made up my mind. I'm going to get that death word out of my vocabulary and the hate word out of my vocabulary. Say, well, I really didn't literally mean that. Well, I don't care if I didn't. It's an idle word then, and I'm not going to say it. And over a period of time, you build up a bulwark. You build up a stronghold of saying, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid. You keep sowing that in your spirit. Well, I'm afraid not. I'm afraid so. Well, you know, that just scared me to death. It just scared me to death. I have to go do that. Well, I'm just doing this to death, and I'm doing that to death. That's just killing me. Man, I really hate I said that. I there's that hate again, see. I made up my mind I'm not going to say it anymore. And you have to be caught at it and corrected at it to ever get it out of your vocabulary. I finally realized I'm not going to be able to just stop saying something. I'm going to have to start saying something. So I began to connect words of God out of His Word. I began to take words out of the Word of God and attach them to something that I do every day, more than once a day, in my natural life, to the point where I say it all the time. And you do it all the time in the natural. Did you ever notice somebody when they sneeze? I must be catching something. Oh, I must be coming down with something here. And somebody else will help you along with it. Say, well, you reckon you're catching cold? Better watch out, flu going around, you know. Oh, I know it. We always get it every time it comes through. Well, no. Change that. Take that opportunity to use the Word of God. Do it on purpose. Say, well, from this day forward, when I sneeze, I'll say, whoa, by His stripes I'm healed and made well and strong. Thank you, Jesus. When you walk up to your car door, I mean, it wouldn't hurt anything if you took a card and taped that scripture on the door out of the book of Revelation and said, Jesus opened doors no man can shut, and He shuts doors no man can open. And every time you open that door, it'd be a good time to say that out loud with your mouth. Hear yourself say it. Every time I brush my teeth, I mean, because I was dealing with my teeth. I was dealing with certain things concerning my body and in a posture of receiving healing, deliverance, where my gums were concerned, my teeth were concerned, and I was dealing with this already. And then God got to talking to me about this renewing business and filling my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. So I decided, well, look here, I'm going to brush my teeth to that psalm. And so I started doing that. Every time I pick up my toothbrush, brother, I start in on the 103rd Psalm. Thank God that I have the 103rd Psalm. I'm just a brushing. You ought to hear, if you ever heard the 103rd Psalm with toothpaste, toothbrush, and all in your mouth, I got a little bit of it, but I don't care. God knows what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. And I'm saying, thank God He fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The roots of my teeth are renewed. My gums are renewed. Thank God He heals all of my sickness and all of my diseases, and the healing power of God flows out of my spirit into my body. I'll tell you, I brush my teeth three times as long as I used to. I look forward to it now. I've been doing that long enough now to where, man, I mean, I look forward to it. Every morning when I pray, that comes out my mouth. He renews my youth like the eagles. Hallelujah to God forevermore. I've connected it to certain things I do in the natural. Anything that has to do with my eyes. All the eye doctors want to tell me that my eyes are going bad on me. I don't believe that. I don't have to receive that. I'm smart enough to know that age has an effect on my eyes, but I'm not going to go around talking about it, get in line with it, and enforce it, and make it worse and cause problems. No. And I still have excellent vision. And I, every time I think about it, every time I pick up my Bible to read it, I just remind the Lord and say it again. Thank God my youth is renewed like the eagles and my eyes are renewed. I thank God for my eyes. I thank God for my ears. My youth is renewed in my ears in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Woo! Glory to God. Doesn't that thrill you? It should. Amen. Well, we're out of time here. I'll have to get back in this again next week. I'm going to take you off into some areas next week that I know you're going to like. So don't miss next week's broadcast. We love you. God loves you. And don't forget, Jesus is Lord.